every morning when I wake up. Money on my mind, go time to get kicked up. Sunshine coming through my blinds, I'm living, but really though, it's never enough. 10 billion, that's a must. Living in California, everybody wanna visit for. They come from. From all around the world for the. Everybody got a build for that. Me, I make meals off that. How the fuck y'all can't see I ride when I drive down the block and you look outside. H-A-T-E in your eyes. I enter big money for the enterprise. It's a beautiful day, I guess. For a bitch to roll with Andre, I guess. Roll it up, baby, come on, lift that trust and roll it up for me when I'm stressed.
You might catch me in Atlanta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to an episode of the Calicon Blogcast. My name is Matthew, and by the time you're hearing this, the day it is uploaded, I will be out of one age bracket into another. Yay!
Happy birthday!
Yes, I am halfway to 40. Woo, boy! Game over,
yeah! Hey, that doesn't sound, like, that's not a good one. Don't make us feel old now. Jeez.
Well, I mean, that was all part of our childhood, so there you go.
Oh, man.
You know what's funny is, like, I don't feel old, but I feel old. It's so weird. It's a multitude of factors, and yeah. So, yeah, I'm in a new bracket. So, yeah, happy birthday to me, and let's get this puppy on the road. Wow. Well, what the fuck does that mean? Let's get this show on the road, all right?
Cancel running too. We're just ending it right now. That's the end of the podcast, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Calicon Blogcast. Oh, my name is Matthew. If you like what you heard. All right. But seriously, we do have a multitude of topics to go through. And to discuss all that, I have Ryan.
Hey, man. Once you pop, you don't stop.
Jericho.
Oshi. No. Me? Cole? What?
And Nate.
I got nothing else to say for the intro, but to say the least, yeah, hey, I'm back again. What?
Well,
Wait, what?
I got nothing for something today. I don't know. I didn't think of it this time around. Whoops.
You sure about that?
Oh, jeez.
Well, speaking of being back, Evolution 23 is back in the news because it just wrapped up registration. That is happening August 4th through the 6th over at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino down in Las Vegas. And let's just say that there's some insane numbers when it comes to how many people registered and the numerous amounts of records that were broken. We're going to go through the numbers first, and then we'll talk about some of the records and some of the other stuff. So at 8th place, with 4 to 49 entrants, we have Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate. 7th place is Melty Blood Type Lumina, Fire 54, which means you're going to need a big-ass bathroom to play that out. This is very scary. Number 6, the King of Fighters 15 has 666 entrants.
The fuck? Yes. Okay, the fucking side of the devil, literally at 6th place for King of Fighters. This devil is the side, right?
This has to be a side. Presented by Chipotle.
Yes, this year's Evolution is sponsored by Chipotle. You'll probably get a lot of codes for free burritos during the time frame.
I'm gonna take advantage
of it. Chipotle is some good food, okay? Well, maybe not for you guys, some for me.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong, but then again, there is a taqueria right next door, so it's like, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, it's better Mexican food than Chipotle, but you know, it's okay. Chipotle's okay. I can still eat that.
Speaking
Jericho,
of
show me to the local Mexican joint. I need to know.
Okay, sure.
Speaking of being okay, at fifth place, Dragon Ball FighterZ has 838 entrants. Number four is Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which has 1,346. Third place is Tekken 7, which is 1,580. That is a Master Plus event for the Tekken World Tour. Second place is Guilty Gear Strive with 2,481. And your winner by a wide margin and breaks the record by 2,000 is Street Fighter 6 with 7,061 entrants.
God damn. Whoa.
Jesus. Jesus.
Damn.
Okay, so how can you fit 7,061 players in tournaments, a double elimination tournaments for, is it 4 days of Evo?
It's 3 days. So here's my theory.
Okay, that's the worst.
well, here's the thing. So based upon where we know each game ranks, we know whether or not it's going to end on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So if anything, the top three, or maybe top four, because they brought back Marvel. I wouldn't be surprised if Marvel, Tekken, Guilty Gear, and Street Fighter are all Sunday games over at the Garden Arena, the Mandalay Bay one, the one that I think right now, as we speak, they're doing the WNBA All-Star game. I think that's where it is.
Yep.
Yes. And you guys got to remember, they're doing top six for all of the finals.
Wasn't it top 10 for Street Fighter? Oh, looking at the rules this year?
For streaming?
For Street Fighter, like, wasn't it top 10?
Top 10 for what?
For Street Fighter 6.
Top 10 in terms of when it gets streamed?
Top 10 to fight over at
the Garden Arena. It's going to be top six. Because they announced this back when they were talking about when they first showed off the games. So all the games, I don't know if it's all the games or all the games are going to be at the arena. Because I think one of the things we had last year was it was running late. And like Guilty Gear Strive ran to like 1 a.m. local time.
Damn.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to avoid that this year. And so... Nate, you mentioned like how they can do this. Street Fighter VI is probably going to be the marquee Sunday night game. So if anything, that would probably start 6, 7 p.m. local time. If you have 7,000 people, you're going to have to run through pools on day one, run through pools on day two, maybe get to top 128 by the middle of day two, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And then maybe you get down to top 48, top 24 by the start of day three. So while there's finals going on for Tekken 7, which is the Tekken World Tour event, or the finals for Strive is going on, you still have Street Fighter 6 being played out all the way down the top six.
You can do that. That's right. That makes sense. It would be the best for last, considering that is a lot of entries for this one.
Also, we talked about the registration records. The most recent record was held by Street Fighter V at 5,107 at its debut at EVO 2016. So we know the power that a Street Fighter game can make a pool of, and the fact that two games in the franchise have held the record for largest entries at EVO, and not to mention Guilty Gear Strive has a new franchise record. Tekken 7 has a new franchise record that probably get beaten when Tekken 8 comes out, which, by the way, you can play Tekken 8 over at EVO. So if you are going out there, you'll be able to try out all six. I believe it's all 16 characters in 5 stages. So it'd be the same as the open beta that's happening next week. And not to mention, Marvel has its registration record. So there is a lot. Actually, I think they're saying the only game that lost people was Mortal Kombat, ironically.
That's actually pretty low compared to like the other games. 449, especially with Mortal Kombat, because that's also a huge franchise too.
Go ahead, Matt. Yeah, but you gotta realize it's the cynical cycle of NRS games. The fact that also that Mortal Kombat 1 is just around the corner. No one's gonna fucking care about 11. No one cares. I guess.
But people still, I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, NBC 3 still is very popular to this day. We have it with a record already.
Well, if you've been watching Twitch as of late. You've been seeing a lot of the Parastec tournaments that they be hosting, whether it's the modded ones or the non-modded ones. So there has been this resurgence of Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It'll be interesting to watch this tournament to see how all the old heads, so your Justin Wongs of the world, your Kane Blue River. I'm missing a lot of names. Well, I miss J Wong.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the people who know well.
All I'm saying is that there's a bunch of the Marvel Legends versus all of the Parasect upstarts. And I'm wanted to see that battle happening. And Tekken 7 is this is probably the last year of the game itself. And we're all asking ourselves, can Arslan Ash win another Evo? Is he the favorite, or is Antif the winner of last year's Tekken World Tour? Is he the favorite, or are we finally going to get American to win, or are we getting is Nii going to come back and win it, or is like someone that we haven't seen in for a while, or like we call them Wash, like Book, for example. There's just a lot of storylines that that we'll pay attention to, and yeah, like I said, Street Fighter is going to be insanely big. So speaking of Evo, we got the announcement from Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll?
Yeah. Crunchyroll. They're going to Evo.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Well, so they're going to be at Interactive Booth K1. And one of the things that they're promoting is you get to have a chance to play Street Fighter Duel.
As an avid player, like, really? Are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, of all the games at Evo, you're gonna have Duel at Evo? I get you're trying to promote your game, but, like, that game is not competitive at all.
Nobody needs to make money, Ryan.
I've never given that game a single cent. I'm free to play for that game.
They're also bringing their subscriber Super Arcade, where Crunchyroll subscribers have the chance to win amazing prizes.
That's just mostly crane games and like those games where it's like mostly like it's not, I don't know if it's like mostly skills, just mostly luck. Just because you're playing crane games mostly in that arcade.
No.
Good luck trying to win a prize, guys.
The true fighting tournament happens at the crane game floor because that's where all the fucking crane game addicts come together. They all complain about the fucking game, and half of them are saying it's a skill issue.
I need Cotter's help. Where's Cotter?
And they got fucking thrown down right down the floor for a cinema roll.
Oh my god!
God damn it!
And then they also talk about free live performances. They have an exciting lineup of artists and DJs, including K?D. Shihori, James Landino, Marilyn, Hyper Potions, VGR, and Kino will all be performing anime and gaming.
Oh, damn, they really brought a lot of DJs.
Yeah, they brought a lot of DJs. I wonder.
Kamori Khan, Fake Star.
Literally like 2 weeks ago, right, Nate?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago for real.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago we actually met James Landino.
All that's missing is Teddy Lloyd showed
up. Yeah, give me interaction with him at least. Damn it!
You'll be able to do interactive photo ops, immortalize your evil experience with immersive photo pops from Spy Family. What?
They're just promoting their anime
at Evo because
Anya and Bond are great Zoder characters. Y'all just missing out.
So Anya is a fighter?
Yeah, Anya Tekken 8? They're great Zoners. But y'all always want to pick fucking Yord because she's the fucking waifu of the fucking game.
True, and she's an assassin, plus he fucking kicks ass.
Yeah, but she's a glass cannon as opposed to Lloyd. What about Scruffy Man?
Oh, fuck.
Shut up!
They're also
you're making us have a great idea about a Spy X Family fighter right now. Okay.
Yeah.
look. As I said, look. Everyone wants Tifa and Kiryu in Tekken 8. Nah, the answer is Anya Forger.
Who is booing?
Anya and Bot, let's go.
Anya and Bot.
Oh, hey, Bot, take over. Hey, Bot, take over. And Anya, have a gun.
That's what they're going to earn Estella. They got to fight in the King of Iron Fist tournament.
They also do photo ops with Hell's Paradise, the Ancient Mage's Bride, and Jujutsu Kaisen. At least Jujutsu Kaisen has a fighting game on the way, so that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. They also mentioned free swag, a merchandise booth, probably when you saw the Anime Expo, and then much.
It's pretty much Anime Expo at Evo. Like,
it basically is. Anime Expo president. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
My guess, they're going to recycle the same shit they had at AX that they didn't give away and just give it away at Evo.
Of course.
I mean, they did have a Hell's Paradise photo op there. They had a Jujutsu Kaisen like event there. So literally it's going to be the same thing, maybe with more things, but still it's Crunchyroll at AX, now at Evo. So those who go to Evo, you pretty much experience AX over there. Crunchyroll.
You know what? You guys are joking about like putting guest characters in Tekken 8, but I watch a lot of the Tekken World Tour because a lot of it's happening during times when I'm working. So it's like, I'll just put this on the background. And then Namco Bandai will run their commercials, and they've been running commercials a lot for the new SAO
new game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just keep saying, Kirito trailer for Tekken 8.
Who is booing? Are you booing to me? Sit the hell down. Okay?
Ew. No. Ew. It could work.
Ew. No. Ew.
You know what? If Asuna
Soul
does
Calibur,
go to freaking,
maybe, but not fucking.
Yeah, Soul Calibur, yes, but if freaking Asuna can make it to Tekken, I'm gonna kick your ass, Ryan.
Yeah, say that to Noctis who made it in the last game. I don't want to hear it.
I mean, to be fair, Tekken did have some guest characters in Tekken, so
I can respect Noctis,
but then there was Negan too.
Oh, I can respect Negan.
Not Akuma, though. I pray to God Akuma's not in Tekken 8. Okay, yeah, but so, by the way, I failed to mention this. The Sunday finals over at the, I forgot the name, actually, the Michelob Ultra Arena is sold out. Sorry, guys. I should have mentioned that beforehand.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Wow. Which probably means if you are in Vegas, there'll probably be a bunch of watch parties popping up throughout Vegas. I mean,
the thing is that Evo is a big event. I would imagine they probably have a watch party in the Evo area anyway.
Oh so, yeah,
there's that.
One of the places that you can watch Evo is on Twitch, and a while back, this had popped up, but it was during our Anime Expo Blitz coverage, so I kind of held off on it until post-Anime Expo. And it's involving XQC and his $100 million contract with Kick, the rival platform, quote-unquote. And you guys remember from last year when we talked about Sykuno had left Twitch for YouTube and Lugwood had left Twitch for YouTube, and Disguised Toast had left Twitch for YouTube and then, or Facebook, and then kind of went back to Twitch. And so we have a BBC article posted on our show about it. But when this first came out, there was a New York Times article that mentioned that the contract that XQC signed with Kick is bigger than LeBron James' current contract with the LA Lakers. And I don't know whether or not it was New York Times that brought that up, or that was part of the Kick marketing machine. Because who the hell is going to relate XQC with LeBron James, unless either it was somebody who just saw that, or it was kind of Kick saying, hey, mention this so that we can get more publicity.
I mean, if you can make the Buku Bucks, why not?
Well, and that's the thing, is where the hell, because XQC has his contract with Kick. They signed a whole bunch of other big names to Kick. Amaranth got signed to Kick. A whole bunch of other people got signed to Kick. And on the surface, I wish that Kick was YouTube or Facebook or even Mixer. Like, it's a legit platform that can compete with Twitch. Twitch needs competition, and it would have been great. However, you got to remember where Kick started and how and why it was formed. Does anyone remember when we first heard about Kick?
I don't remember.
It was back when Twitch had banned gambling. And not just gambling, the crypto casinos. Trainwreck was saying, oh, I'm going to start my very own streaming service so that I can go gamble because Twitch is eliminating the thing I can do. That's Kick, because Kick is backed by a little-known company called Stake.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just know Stake.com got banned by Twitch just because it is a gambling site.
Well, here's the thing. Stake is technically not banned. The version that XQC and Trainwrecks and a lot of other popular streamers do, that is banned, where it's all based on crypto. There is a legal version of Stake available, but kind of like how it is with regulated casinos in the United States, the amount of money you could put in is very low, and therefore the amount of money you can win is very low. Versus the likes of XQC and Trainwrecks, they're winning millions of dollars on stream, and they're all yelling, "Whoa, yeah, I got book," and 5 rules later, do not gamble, you will lose.
Do not get it twisted. Do not gamble. Do not start. Gambling is entertainment and entertainment only.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are kind of wondering, when is XQC going to start gambling? Well, he hasn't done that yet, even though he's been on Kick. Now, the thing about Kick is they can't even handle their own website, because as soon as XQC's first ever stream on Kick started, the site went down.
Is it because everybody else is trying to get into Kick because of XQC's promotion?
No, because they're trying to watch him.
Well, right.
That's all it is. They're just trying to watch him.
I know it's trying to be a backup Twitch, but at the same time, it's like, you don't have the server space. You don't have the kind of like website like Twitch that you can be able to actually handle a lot of people to watch a streamer.
Yes, and there's a deeper answer to this that I just want to go through, because we have a lot more topics. Because I could go about another half hour about the fact that, yes, Kick is using some form of AWS, the same system that Twitch uses. So it's kind of like it's in AWS's best interest to have both Twitch and Kick around. But, you know, I think one of the things with Kick is, at least admit it, the reason why you exist is to promote Stake and promote gambling. But a lot of times they act like they're trying to be a legit competitor to Twitch when they should be saying, yes, we're here because we don't like what Twitch did. And yes, we have every right to create a competitor. Just don't lie about it. And don't gaslight other people to thinking that that's not the reason why you're doing it. It's not like you're doing a Mixer thing with Microsoft. It's not like you're doing a Facebook or YouTube.
None of that Mixer matters anymore.
Well, yeah. Like Mixer shut down. I mean, they did go back to Twitch. They did go back to other streaming services. So I'm assuming if Kick goes down, they're going to go back to Twitch or something.
Yeah. And then we talked about this a while back, but we feel like it's kind of like the Wild West of rules, because XQC got dinged for streaming The Dark Knight, as well as he was shown streaming Breaking Bad, and then you know there was the thing about Thailand and some streamers getting arrested out there. It's kind of like how Twitch was in the early days. But it's kind of like, yeah, you know why you exist. So it's been quiet, and all XQC has been doing is just doing React material and playing multiplayer games. So we haven't seen him just go to gambling straight up. First off, he has to move to Canada because he can't stream that shit in the US. So he actually has to move physically to Canada, where the version of Stake that he can play is available. If anything changes, we'll definitely talk about it when the time comes. Speaking of change, we're going to now move into the convention news. And the first piece is not really convention news-ish, but it will affect some conventions moving forward. And this is regarding the SAG-AFTRA strike that was effective 12:01 a.m. Pacific time, the day that we record. So essentially, they joined the Writers Guild Association, and essentially, Hollywood and TV and movies are all on strike. And a lot of people are noticing this within the medium realm, like the news, for example, and they're saying that while this won't affect your TV shows for a little bit because, you know, they think it's Apple TV and Peacock and Netflix, they can still roll out shows because those have already been completed. They can't film anymore. And we'll talk about one example about how this is going to affect something else. But the thing that's going to get affected, that's going to get affected immediately, is San Diego Comic Con. That is because one of the things that you can't do while you're on strike as part of SAG-AFTRA is go on promotional tours on behalf of a studio or a company. So, for example, you saw images earlier this week of Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman doing production of Deadpool 3. And you saw the first images of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Now,
I want to ask, though, for that particular reason. That was during the strike, though, right? So
The images came out before the strike.
Oh, before this strike, because there was still a strike going on, but in June, anyways.
That's the Writers Guild.
Okay, so this is different now.
So the writers are on strike, but you can still do film production, and it would safe to assume that the script for Deadpool 3 has already been made. All they got to do is shoot it.
Right.
But now that the strike has occurred, they can't even do that. So the big news is that, yes, Deadpool 3 has halted production in wake of the strike. But also, they can't go on publicity tours and talk about it, including San Diego Comic Con.
I think that would just go for every convention, because when I'm looking at this list down here, it's tours, interviews, podcasts, panels, fan expos, conventions, yes, everything that a guest star could go into that is affiliated with anything about their film, you know, that's coming up, like for a Marvel film or a DC film or any like Hollywood film that they're going to come out with, they can't say anything about it, which is weird. So like, for example, they'll go into a convention, but they can't answer those questions that people are going to be asking.
No. And that's the thing about San Diego Comic-Con is all those Hall H things, those are hosted by the major companies because right. They're out there to promote the newest Marvel movie, the newest Apple TV Plus thing, the new Peacock thing, the new Netflix thing.
Yeah, but the thing is that they did say that they were backing out. So, like, there were signs that said that SDCC wasn't going to be the same SDCC, considering that, for example, Universal is not attending SDCC. Marvel's not attending SDCC. Yeah. You know, other big names. And it kind of tells you, like, the signs were coming that this wasn't going to be the same old SDCC that you're going to have next week. Is it next week?
I believe so, because that's the first thing they were saying. I mean, it's still going to be a celebration of everything pop culture. It's just not going to include all of the big announcements of we're going to show off more Deadpool 3. We're going to show off the Queen's Gambit 2. That may or may not be
a thing. Yeah, it's literally next week. It's literally next week. Yeah, and honestly, think about it though. Like, how this will affect, like the popular panels and announcements.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's it. Stops all of it.
So all H is going to be empty.
For the most part, I mean, I don't know what else they can do with it.
I mean, they'll have something, but it's not the same. You know, everybody's lining up at like 12 midnight just to see if they can hear the biggest announcement from Marvel Films or.
Who are they going to see? Like a fucking what? Kevin Feige, Kathleen Kennedy. You know, no offense to them, but they're part of the they're part of the machine that the union that the unions are striking against. Who are they going to tow out? Iger? Hell no.
There's a level of expectation that they have that is just not realistic, and they are adding to a set of challenges that this business is already facing. That is quite frankly very disruptive.
So they're not being realistic.
No, they're not.
Oh, Bob Iger? Oh, God. After the shit that he said over the week? Hell no.
Any media exec right now.
I was going to say, because after this, I would imagine, like, all of Hollywood is definitely not going to attend conventions or anything so far. Because I would imagine after, like, for example, what Bob Iger's thing about writers, it's like, well, that was a bad way to start it.
Here is the thing, and everyone's starting to ask this question. Of not just San Diego Comic-Con, but let's say, for example, SAC Anime. Because SAC Anime has a whole bunch of announcements I'm going to kind of like roll both at the same time. So one email went out and they announced that they're bringing a shitload of people from God of War, Ragnarok. So you have Christopher Judge, Sonny Soljic, Danielle Bushuti, Alistair Duncan, Adam J. Harrington, and Robert Craighead. So that's Kratos, aka the guy who spoke too much at last year's Game Awards. Altirius, Freya, Mimir, Sindiri, and Brock. And then another email went out for One Piece. You have Christopher Potter, Christopher Wangkamp, Sonny Strait, Ian Sinclair, Stephanie Young, and Sean Hannigan. So that's Shanks, Bastille, Usopp, Brooke, Nico Robin, and Goldie Roger. Someone posted on the SAC Anime Facebook page, will the strike impact the celebrity slash guest SBAs at the summer? And this is a response from the admins. And this is coming from the company that SAC Anime works with to bring all the voice talent. It's called CelebWorks. It says, taken from a post from our booking agent we use for our convention. For every CelebWorks friend, client, peer, promoter, direct from the designated SAG negotiator, autograph signings in conventions not studio involved will be allowed to take place. 99% of shows booked by our agency are privately owned and focused on a client's legacy of work. Don't let variety social media graphic highlight misinformation mislead you. Since we are not backed by a studio, nor do studios send us talent, we book the talent direct, we do not anticipate any disruptions from our announced lineup. Things may change, but this is their current status. So what that means is, for example, Christopher Judge, because he's going primarily on his own behalf or on the behalf of CelebWorks, he can go out and talk about God of War Ragnarok or anything he worked on. However, and this may be the case, if let's say, for example, he was on The Queen's Gambit 2 on Netflix and he was currently in production of that, if someone went up to him and asked him, hey, I heard you're working on Queen's Gambit 2 on Netflix. Well, per contract rules, he can't talk about that because that's part of the strike details. But he could talk about something he worked on with the past, which is God of War Ragnarok or anything else he worked on.
I'll say contract or union, really. Union guidelines. More union guidelines.
More union guidelines, yes. So I don't think, like, for example, SAC Anime is popping up. Otakon is coming up pretty soon. There's a bunch of American VAs. Also, I think video game talent is not affected by this, although you gotta remember there was the SAG-AFTRA strike with the video game companies years and years ago. So this is kind of like a learning lesson that we kind of went back through almost 5 years ago with that shit.
I'm pretty certain there's a lot of crossover between, like, you know, whoever acts in, you know, like in video games and, like, you know, actual live action projects and shit.
So there is, like, but I'm also being told there's like a different contract when it comes to like working on a video game. So again, I think the best thing to do is just go to their social media and find out for yourselves. Another person to really look up is Kyle Haber. He has a great infographic on his Facebook page that outlines what you can and cannot do, because as the post alluded to, but also Kyle Bear alluded to, don't believe what TMZ is telling you. Don't believe what Variety is telling you about this strike and what we can and can't do. Because there's a lot of ambiguous shit that's going around.
Hopefully the strike like gets settled like soon, but who knows? It already started with the writers back in June, and now it's going on to now all
they're
the
not writers, they're strikers,
in,
man.
Well, in production and acting too, so it's like, well, this is gonna be weird.
Yeah, from all indications, it seems like this may go for the rest of the year. Shit.
Is it good? Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, no. Anyway.
I got all my video games to keep me occupied. Of course. Look, we support SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild. We support them because it's not all about the big guys who make the Hollywood money. There's thousands of actors with the SAG. They want to put their passion out there, and they just want to be paid a fair wage and not have their likeness taken by AI for all perpetuity, literally.
Yeah. Fuck that, dude.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, you know that.
I really.
It's out there. It's real.
I mean, for real though, I just hope that they actually do get their fair pay. I really do support like everybody in Hollywood, the people behind the scenes, not the big higher ups. I really hope that they actually do get the win in this and everything gets a fair deal at the end. I know it will probably take a while, but hopefully Hollywood can recognize that they have really done a lot of hard work and they need to get paid the right amount in order for them to continue on with the work.
Yeah. It's funny how it was like, oh, the Motion Picture Association has this really groundbreaking thing about AI that we gave to SAG. And it's like, that was what they gave them, was we want to use your likeness in perpetuity for the rest of your life. I'm like, what?
That's disgusting.
No. Oh no!
For like $200 or some shit, it is insane. But that's not the point. I'm just trying to talk about it from a convention angle, so that if you are worried about not seeing your favorite VA, like I wouldn't say don't panic, but everything is subject to change. Like something we'll talk about later on. Speaking of subject to change, the last thing we're gonna talk about is KomoriCon. Now, while we're also going through our Anime Expo Blitz, there was a COVID-19 policy update for this year's KomoriCon happening November 17th to the 19th at the Oregon Convention Center. And essentially, it's we are no longer forcing vaccination or testing checks, and masks and face coverings will not be required but are strongly recommended, which has been the case for every convention since probably last year.
I mean, it tracks.
Yeah.
That's how nationwide trends are doing right now with elections. So thank God for that.
Yeah, and unless there's something major occurring, I think this is gonna be the thing moving forward. It's always gonna be a recommendation. Just really quick, when this got announced, if you go to the KomoriCon Discord and there's a section that's dedicated to policy changes, and I just read through it. I'm like, what is this? And then I just randomly read one comment. I don't know how we got to that point, but somebody brought up eugenics. I'm like, no.
What?
Yeah, someone brought up eugenics. I'm like, no. No, I'm not doing this. I'm getting out. Just, I'm going to drive my KomoriCon and not worry about you guys bitching about, like, genetics and, I don't know, the shit that, like, got us in this trouble about, you know, masks versus non-masks.
I think, for to say the least, right now, I think we're all back to normal. I mean, Anime Expo, we were able to survive with COVID. People still thinking that COVID's still going on right now. I know everybody is still in that kind of mode, and I agree with most of y'all. I definitely feel like we might want to wear a mask, but still, like, I'm okay with whatever opinion's going on, with whatever convention's going with. So, mask or not, I'm still going.
Speaking of conventions, the last convention we're going to bring up is a little known convention called Anime Bonsai. Now, Anime Bonsai is in a place called Layton, Utah. Where is that, you may ask? Well, if you Google it, it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of in that Ogden, Salt Lake City, Provo, Maine area. And they are in the news primarily because they came out on social media and said, essentially, we are not allowing guests to sign Funko Pops at our free signing events. They make this really funny joke about, like, Funko Pops have been coated in a super special coating that makes it so our wonderful guests cannot sign them.
Coated in super coating that we... Okay.
Is that a... Azian from K-On?
Yeah, it's Azusa from Azusa, K-On.
Yeah. And she's holding the teapot, and she's pouring the teapot, and it's missing when it says Funko Pops.
No, I love how Anime Bonsai just goes up with the memes. It's great.
Yeah. Now, this would have been a normal announcement because we've been seeing this trend of conventions kind of cracking down on Funko Pops being signed, but then the Anime Expo occurred, and that just amplified what we're seeing within the fandom of Funko Pops, and let alone signed Funko Pops. And the one person that really understands this fandom, if anybody, is Ryan.
Oh boy.
What?
What?
Mission 4. What can you say? What more can you say, Ryan?
Well, I mean, given I collect pops, I've got a couple signatures too. I'm not selling any of my signatures because when I buy pops, I buy pops for me. I buy for my collection and for, you know, just for my purposes. But unfortunately, there are scummy people in this world that are trying to make a quick buck for a cheap and very, how do I put this, cheap, affordable, and variable type of collectible, and that being Funko Pops. There are many a different media, many a different collectible you could have a voice actor sign. That some can be pricey, like Nendoroids. You could have media such as DVDs, Blu-rays, movies, things of that nature. You could have memorabilia sign, like a shirt or a limited edition jacket or something like that. But unfortunately, some of these are a little bit more pricier than 10, 12, 15 bucks. And it's kind of scummy to see that, like, some things that have been happening at these different conventions, AX being the most recent tragedy to this of this effect. But primarily saying, though, it's part of the reason why we've seen a lot of voice actors kind of be negative about Funko Pops, but also either increase pricing for Funko Pops or just outright say no to Funko Pops because of how the market fluctuates and how easy they are not only to authenticate, but also how easy they are to make a quick profit. I hate that these people ruin it for all of us, but they're out there. And it's sad that I actually see it at my job on a day-to-day basis, too, when I'm at GameStop. It disgusts me, but I have to deal with it.
And the thing is, we see this all the time with fandoms and the fact that, like, we only hear about what happens when the bad actors get it, especially when it comes to scalping GPUs, shoes, PlayStations, signed Funko Pops, for example, because what's that guy going to do now that he has both autographs from the Japanese and English VA of Ichigo Kurosaki from Bleach? He's going to go sell that for God knows. What's a Funko Pop? 15? 15 bucks? 15, 25?
Again, average Funko Pop is about 12 bucks. 12, 13 dollars before taxes.
There's some that are limited to 15 bucks. Yeah, there's some that are limited to, like, exclusive to 15 bucks. But then some also get discounted. So, yeah.
As Nate was alluring to, yes, there are ones that are a little bit more expensive because you have the likes of the San Diego Comic-Con pops that are exclusive to the convention, or the ones they sell during San Diego Comic-Con at, like, your likes of retailers like Hot Topic, Amazon, GameStop, Box Lunch. You have the certain exclusives that are exclusive to those retailers when they release, again, GameStop, Box Lunch, Hot Topic. There are the ones that are, like, AAA anime that do, like, certain ones, direct ones from Funko themselves that you have to get that way. Then you have your chases, which can either cost normal price, but you find that one rare variant, i.e. example, the most recent Trigun release with Vash Stampede, not having the sunglasses, and then the chase variant having the sunglasses that can, I've actually looked on the market right now. The base version of the pop is average price at about 12 bucks. The chase is averaging about 40 to 70 on the market, depending on who's asking.
But then again, those are rare to find. So yeah,
chases are very hard to find. Chases are actually, come to think about it, now that we're talking about the possibility of a chase, it's 1 in 12 or 1 in every carton.
That's insane. Wait, that's for, like, all the vendors, right? So, for example, like, if somebody has a chase version over at GameStop or at Hot Topic, then they'll sell it on the market, but then that one person who finds it is pretty much lucky.
So, we sell it at base price at the $12 mark, unless it was, like...
Oh, really? I thought you actually would bump it up because it's a chase version.
No, we don't... Okay, so...
You really can't because it's just, like, MSRP.
You sell it at MSRP... It's just the chase, as everyone knows, because it has that sticker on it or has something different. It's a different variant of, instead of getting the base or the vanilla of the pop, you get a different variant that's very hard to find. Hence the reason why the chase variants are literally limited editions, one in every 12 boxes or one per crate.
Wow. So it's kind of like there, Whiteboard's fine about a double SP. Okay.
In that sense, kind of yes. But, I mean, there are instances where, yes, there might be times that a GameStop may receive two chases, or if they're lucky, if they're damn near lucky, three. But it's on a very good day. But 9 times out of 10, like with the instance of my Vash the Stampede, it was 1 out of 3 that we received.
So you ended up getting, like, a lot then.
No.
One out of three.
One of the three pops. One of the three pops that we... that there are three pre-orders. I was one of the pre-orders. Actually, the first one to pre-order.
So one of them had the Chase version.
I got the Chase. The other two pre-orders did not.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm not saying...
Can somebody actually pre-order, like, at the store? So, for example, like, I like this version, can I pre-order it over there?
When it comes down to Chases, and I really shouldn't, like, keep saying, like, stuff at GameStop, but, for example, it depends on how the store operates. I know at my store, depending on who pre-ordered first, and generally, like, rule of thumb for us is, like, if the guest that pre-ordered either the earliest... first and was able to be contacted when they come in to pick it up, it's like, oh, we have a Chase. Do you want the normal version or do you want the Chase? 9 times out of 10, they're going to choose a Chase unless they don't really want the other variant, which is kind of odd. But sometimes the variants aren't that great. But generally speaking, it just depends on how rule. It's a per store basis. But as an example, since I was first to pre-order out of the three people that pre-ordered, I was offered the Chase first. And of course, I took it. This is not because I work at GameStop. It's not because I have first dibs. I was off the clock, literally just going to pick up my games that came out that day. And it just so happens that they got the pops, the Trigun pops in that day. Now, because I was first to pre-order, not to mention I was first in the store as well, I didn't realize until I saw it that there was a Chase. They offered me the Chase first. So this is not because I had said dibs. It's not because I saw it. I was on the clock and saw it. I was like, oh, I'm just going to take it for myself. I was lucky to get the Chase for Bash the Stampede. Back to topic. Chases are still market MSRP price at 12. The only time that we saw a pop higher is because, again, either retailer exclusive, event exclusive, or if it's more expensive, like one of the 12-inch pops, the jumbo pops, or one like the big movie case ones, or the game cover arts, like the recent Soar release that came out for us. Those are the only times that pops will sell for a little bit higher. General pops that these people are buying and selling, they buy it at 12, get them signed by one or both voice actors, for instance. Instant 200 to 300, maybe $500. Easy.
And that's what I was going to say. That's an easy 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, sorry.
Almost 100%.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, a 10x return, 10x, 20x, 30x, 40x, 50, 60, maybe up to 100x return, depending on what is signed and how rare that pop is. Because I know some people personally in my life that have rare pops you can't buy anymore, that if they sold it, it's worth thousands.
That Jollibee Philippines exclusive that we were talking about like years back, that pop is worth like a lot right now on the market.
Yeah,
that's a rare figure now,
And again, this is the same thing when it comes to shoes. Anything that's rare. Shoes, Pokemon cards,
Nendoroids. Yeah, it's pretty much Nendoroids as well. For those of like out of
print. Gunpla's another example.
Gunpla, yeah.
Well, you can apply that to anything that's
collect,
really.
Anything that's collectible or profitable, yeah.
It's just weird because like Funko Pops, I think, are the ones that are like the one that keep on like getting a lot in the resale market, to say, compared to like the others.
I think it's because it's their most widespread and they're like the cheapest to get into.
Yeah, that could be why.
But exactly,
the barrier to entry is very low, and your ROI is exponential. Because I talk about, for example, I have my Yuri Katsuki Nendoroid signed by the English VA for Yuri. I'm waiting to find out whether the Japanese VA will be over so I can get that signed. But if that's the case, then that's going to go up exponentially. Not to mention, it is currently sealed and it's in like in a box protector. So it's gaining value. But I spent a lot more than $12 for that Nendoroid. Not to mention, I bought a second Nendoroid so I put it in my PC. That's the sunk cost fallacy anyway. But the fact is that it's not, I'm not going to get the same rate of return that, let's say, for example, a pop signed by Christopher Sabat or Johnny Young Bosch or Johnny Young Bosch and Morita-san together is going to fetch because of how much it costs to get the item and then how much it's going to be. And I guess it's, again, as I see it, it's just Ryan's a good example of being a collector. I'm a good example of being a collector. But then, of course, we see all these people who are like, man, you give us all motherfuckers a bad name.
Well, I mean, another example of this is like, as Matt was alluding to, back in 2017 or 18, when we went to Crunchyroll Expo,
19?
Was it 19? No, I don't. I could have sworn. Well, yeah,
Crutchfield was 2019. It was there I didn't go.
Okay, so 2019, me and Nate were there interviewing Horikawa-san. Or, for those who don't know, Horikawa Ryo was there. He's the Japanese voice actor for Vegeta. We got to interview him. We got to talk to him. He was really nice, and he was nice enough to sign my Vegeta pop. And mind you, this is a GameStop exclusive through a Funko. Like, you have to buy the Funko box kind of thing, where you had to buy like the X stuff and you get the pop in it. I got that GameStop exclusive signed. Now, I don't plan on getting rid of it. I do have everything like kind of authenticated, or at least I have ways to prove I was there. But imagine if I was to get that same Vegeta pop signed by Christopher Sabat, it'd be Horikawa and Sabat's signature. Could you fathom on the market, especially it being a no longer in print, vaulted GameStop exclusive, how much that pop would fetch on the market? Anyone?
$2,000?
I mean, it is Vegeta, but then let's also put it this way, too. Both actors are still kicking. Yes, they are still going to be worth a pretty penny. I would value the pop, given that it's in a pop protector. It's been sealed since I got it signed from Horikawa. If I was to get it signed by a Sabat, get it authenticated with the ticket that I have signed for, or with the ticket I have for Horikawa, and per se the ticket I have for Sabat, get it authenticated, looked at, further seal it permanently, maybe even get it graded, what it could be worth? Thousands, hundreds, even thousands, if I really wanted to. But I plan on holding on to that for a very, very long time. And I want something to, like something my kids could look at when I grow old. It's the same thing for my Leonardo pop when I had Kevin Eastman, who signed that pop. That's sealed, and it's actually, I'm looking at it right now. Kevin Eastman, being one of the co-creators of TMNT, he's still alive and kicking, but his autograph still goes for quite a bit too. Sure, a pop isn't worth a lot. It's not like he signed a first run copy or first run first print of the original TMNT comic, but it's still going to be worth a pretty penny. But I don't plan on selling it. Where the scummy people who go out to these conventions buy 30 of the same pop because it's easy to obtain the base one, have both of them sign it. I don't even want to try to attempt to look this up, but like, does anyone want to try to see how much, if we can find one of these so-called AX pops on the market?
I mean, I don't think they would like put it up like immediately, or unless
I don't think they would either. Yeah. Are you looking at the Ichigos, for example, that we're talking about in AX?
I'm just fathoming if one of those Ichigos are on the market right now, what they're selling for.
Let's see. You want both of them, right?
I mean, Morita and Bosch together, I guess, but if we want to just take a guess or maybe see how much more one or the other is worth. I mean, Morita's going to be worth more than Bosch. I'm only going to say that right now.
I see 270 on one of them.
Halloween, well, I'm on eBay right now, and I'm not seeing the...
A lot of things for Johnny on Bosch being signed, like the original Ichigos. Or like,
oh, Jesus Christ. You want 1,000 for Holo Ichigo signed?
Well, the Holo Ichigo is rare. That's to find. Rare.
That was really rare. From what I remember, that was a exclusive. That was not a base pop.
There's one that's signed and it's only $350 for a Holo Ichigo, and I'm like, interesting. It could have been more than that. Ichigo regular version is fine, $144 for just with Johnny on Bosch. I don't know about the Japanese voice actor though.
That's what I'm trying to.
Well, you gotta look at average market value too. All things considered,
mm-hmm.
Let's go by newly listed. Okay, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, a lot of it's going. This is just on eBay. But I'll bet you this person's gonna try to sell the next convention for a price.
So if Bosch can fetch anywhere from three to, let's say average three to five, Morita-san probably going for
double,
if not the same, maybe not double.
if let's say that Hall Ichigo got signed by both Bosch and Morita, that's easily 2,500.
Easy.
Easy, 2,500.
Mm-hmm. But then again, also, we also have to look at the market. We have to also look at the character. We have to look at the condition of the pop. We have to look at popularity of the anime, maybe. I mean, is it that popular of a character? Is it still relevant? You know, the things of that nature. Like, a lot of things fluctuate the market. It's the same thing, like we said before. It fluctuates with shoes, fluctuates with GPUs. Things can fluctuate over time. But the way that you kind of look at it, and I really hate using this as an example, pops are practically stocks. They go up, they go down. They go up.
Yep.
And but
that's the same thing. To say the least, it goes for everything. Like, when it comes to collectible stuff, for Nendoroids to Gunpla, they can go up and down depending on rarity.
You know what? I'm going to say this as much. Funko Pops are NFTs. Because you know why? They're ugly as shit.
Big claim. Claim right there. Whoa.
They are ugly as shit.
To be fair, like, trading cards are NFTs in that case as well.
I'm gonna put it like this. NFTs are fucking ugly. Monkeys are fucking ugly. The Funko Pops are ugly as shit. Except for the Jollibee one. That actually looks nice. But other than the Pops,
there are
like,
good looking Pops.
There are, but it's just.
I would love a pop that had only black eyes and the hairstyle. That's it.
I think that's the reason why I like Nendoroid better, because they're better produced, but they're also costing like four times as much as a Funko Pop.
Yeah, but you get the fucking quality. In all honesty, in terms of figures, pops are mid.
Pops are okay.
And as much as I've said it over the past, it's just every time I go to a con, it's just flooded with people just trying to sell Funko Pops. And I'm like, can you sell anything else besides Funko Pops? No, we're just selling Funko Pops.
Those are those vendors. At least there are at least other vendors that at least sell some decent stuff, you know?
Yeah. When I see the racks on racks on racks on racks on racks of Funko Pops, I just eye roll. I'm like, God fucking
damn it!
You know, to be fair, anime conventions are pretty much selling Funko Pops at their vendors. Look at all the anime they have pretty much like licensed Funko Pops over. Demon Slayer, Naruto, Bleach. Like, there's tons of One Piece, for example. A lot of people like that. Apparently.
But why wouldn't you if you want to break through in the Western market? You know, $5 says that, you know, I'm probably going to be very uneducated about this opinion or this take, but $5 says Funko Pops aren't as cool in East Asia or Southeast Asia.
Probably not.
If the Philippines can do a Jollibee Pop, I have reason not to believe that. That's not to believe that statement.
Okay, Philippines is kind of in a weird area, culture-wise. let's be real. Let's be real, Ryan. Filipino culture is really weird in that regard.
It's not necessarily a gray area, though. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a gray area.
We put hot dogs in spaghetti.
The other infamous dish that got hot dog in it, Filipino spaghetti. That shit gotta stop. I am ashamed on behalf of our people to eat Filipino spaghetti. I swear, I hope to God that Italy never finds out that we've taken their national dish and fucked it up.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, make the Italians cry. I get it.
Yeah, you know what? Filipino culture? It's a hot take, period. The entire culture is hot take.
Hot take. But no, I just think that there should be more awareness of what's been happening. I just hope that more people are receptive to when voice actors and voice talents say, I'm not gonna sign your Funko Pop anymore. I think that's the big takeaway from all this.
It's kind of a funny story. Actually, Nate, I'm gonna let you finish.
I was gonna say, like, because of what happened at Anime Expo was the tipping point of pretty much like everybody's awareness about Funko Pop and signatures like that. And I know Sack Anime has been doing this for quite a while of like increasing price, like for example, like having guests increase their prices when it comes to Funko Pop signings because of what happened at Anime Expo.
I would say it's the tipping point. It's more like it's just one of the most egregious examples of that. No matter what.
Like, I know there's going to be crackdowns on people signing Funko Pops now. Everybody who goes to con glasses
now, but don't let Anime Expo.
There's
going to
be an awareness of that, but it's just more towards, like, they should like there should be a thing now where it's like Funko Pops now needs to be higher priced or something needs to be done when it comes
that's
to people signing Funko Pops.
That's already happening, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes higher. And I'm gonna say this for people who are asking, like Sack Anime, or are they gonna sign Funko Pops? Your answer is going to be it depends on the guest, and even then, they may not tell you until you show up to their autograph booth that day. So you may want to do your research beforehand when you get in that line, because each person prices their things out differently. And one person may say, yeah, I've been seeing this Funko Pop market. I've been seeing the sign Funko Pop market. I don't like it. Funko Pops are now $400 a sign. And nobody would. And you know what? He'll be fine, because then he'll do headshots for $10, or he'll do a photo of Kratos for $20. But Funko Pops, $400.
Now, as I was going to say, as a really good, like a really terrible example, but kind of a good example of why some voice actors are like against Pops, there are those obsessed fans that go a little too far and push to the point where they like we have to the point where no, they don't want to do Funko Pops flat out. One example being David Wittenberg, the voice of Kakashi, voice of Matt. What's some other notable roles Wittenberg's done? David he was Wittenberg? The voice of American Ninja Warrior, where he was the announcer for Ninja Warrior. What else is some other stuff that Wittenberg's done? David he was Wittenberg. In Dot Hack, I know that much. Yeah.
He's Saito in Ghost in the Shell. He's Gino in Code Geass. What was it, Eureka 7? Kakashi in Naruto.
Either way, he's well-renowned among voice acting. There was a fan that was trying to get a pop signed, and literally kind of Wittenberg was kind of being cool about it, and he did it. And then he came, we have the same problem that we have AX. He came back again with another pop, but to the point where Wittenberg says, I don't want to sign any more pops. But this fan took it to another level, kind of went a little overboard, because he kept saying no, to the point his obsession got the best of him. He accosted Wittenberg, and to this day, David Wittenberg will not sign pops or won't sign anything that he agrees to because of the fact that he does not want an incident like that happening again. Now, this happening to other voice actors, I have yet to see it, but the fact that something like this could happen or occur to another actor or a voice actor, I can perfectly understand why pops are definitely a no on most people's lists. It makes sense. Outside of the resale value, it's not worth getting assaulted over.
I just think in general, getting an autograph is not a reason to get assaulted.
No, not the slightest.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. I think for us, and I think it's safe to say, we're in this because we love the fandoms. We love the series that we get our autographs from. I love Eureka 7. We all like Persona. Ryan, for some reason, likes SAO.
For some reason.
You guys shut your whore fucking mouths because of the fact that you guys have all seen the movie. You guys are all rewatching it. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, I'm not rewatching this. I'm just watching the fucking three movies.
I watched the dunk on it, bro. So there you go.
but I think the fact of the matter is that we're not in it for the resale. At least
the same thing with Street Fighter.
Yeah, if there's anything on mine that I would potentially sell, it'd probably be my Porto Graffiti signed towel from 2013, which we're gonna talk about in a little bit.
Oh, hell no.
What?
Oh, hell no. You know how long I've been eyeballing that thing, and you're not even that big of a Porto Graffiti fan compared to me? Oh, hell no.
I like Porto Graffiti, but the point of the matter is that... also, too, that is the first thing I'm staring at when it comes to where my setup is. I see my Eureka 7 poster signed by Johnny Obosh. You're personal, so you're not being sold anytime soon. I'm keeping you. You're not being sold anytime. Oh, hi, SoCal Host Club poster.
Oh god,
yeah, man, that bitch is framed.
it's seen some time. It has seen some shows, to say the least.
Oh yeah, but I think just in general, please don't be a douchebag when it comes to signing your pops. If you want one or two signed and you're really doing it because you really like that person, you like their work, go right ahead. But if they say no, if it's $400, you kind of know the reason why. And if you don't want to pay that or they're not doing it, then accept as is and get a headshot instead. Or even pay for, oh, wait, hold on. Can they even do that? They probably could. They could probably still do voice recordings and video shout outs as characters, even though they're under. Yeah, that's probably, yeah, because it's based on something they've done already. It's not like they're doing it off something they haven't done yet. Speaking of 2013, so now we're down to our last topic of the night, which is our Anime Expo 2013 retrospective. Now, to set things up, back in 2013, Barack Obama had just started his second term as President of the United States, as well as Vice President Joe Biden. The national average of gasoline at the time was $3.49. Except if you're like in a state like Hawaii, it was about $4.24, followed by Alaska, California, Connecticut. A price of a first class cab is 46 cents. In 2013, this is the year that we got the PlayStation 4. So it came out this year and had sold over 1 million units on the first day.
Xbox a week later.
You also remember during around that time, if you had shopped at a Target, you might have had your data stolen.
Oh shit, that's right.
Yeah, some of the other things that also occurred that year, Detroit, Michigan filed for Chapter 9 bankruptcy. Microsoft purchased Nokia. We had the partial shutdown of the U.S. government. The highest grossing film of that year was Frozen, followed by The Lone Ranger. And Sharknado is third. High grossing film of 2013.
Who would expect that?
Yeah. That's according to imdb.com via a website called hobbylark.com, which I'll post a link in our show notes. That year, 12 Years a Slave won the Academy Award for Best Picture. Also this year, Random Access Memories, the Daft Punk album, won Grammy of the Year. This is also the year that The Heist from Macklemore and Ryan Lewis won Best Rap Album. It should have been Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar. The fucking robbery on that shit.
Hey, man. We're all blaring Daft Punk all the way down to L.A. I don't want to hear it. That album was hype for 2013.
I am not backing on Random Access Memories. That was a fire album. I'm talking about The Heist. Although we kind of did too.
Yeah.
We kind of did too.
Hey, Ram was the GOAT.
Songs you might have heard of throughout the year. This is the first year that we get The Harlem Shake by Bauer. We get Thrift Shop. We get Bruno Mars' Locked Out of Heaven. We get Blurred Lines with Robin Thicke, T.I. and Pharrell. We get Katy Perry's Roar. Miley Cyrus' Wrecking Ball. Royals from Lord. And then The Monster from Eminem and Rihanna. And then during this year, two of these people that we know of, and it's some people who had died in the year 2013. Margaret Thatcher, she was the former British Prime Minister. Pat Summerall, he was opposite John Madden in a lot of NFL coverage in the 90s. Nelson Mandela, he was the anti-apartheid activist and the first ever South African president. And that's just some of the names that are on here. Patty Page, Tony Sheridan, Joan Fontaine. Oh, yeah. We also get Microsoft 8.1 this year, Ryan. Yay!
The atrocities that were committed just to make things try to work out for not having tabs as your main screen.
So in addition to Microsoft 8.1, this is also the year that we get the iPhone 5S and 5C from it. But again, you don't care about it. So, Anime Expo 2013, and kind of like the evolution of it to today. I don't know if I mentioned this prior to hand, but in 2013, the attendance of Anime Expo that year was 61,000. This year, it is, we don't know yet. But if I had to guess, the numbers are probably going to be about 120,000, 125,000.
I would say probably more, considering that they keep on overselling Anime Expo. Like, not from 2013, but more like from the recent years, from 2022 to 2023.
The way that Dave Lewis starting in this year, it has to be over 200,000, I'd say.
Not
on day one, but like over the convention.
Over the convention? I'm going to probably put it Napoli, if it's over the convention period, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more of like 500,000 people attended Expo at one point or another.
So you're saying 500,000?
Yeah, 500,000. Like they'll do like, oh, we had 5,000 people attend over the 4 days.
No, I have a feeling it's 300,000 at most. Because it just feels that overall, I would expect 500,000, probably lower than that, like around 300,000 at most. Considering how fucking packed it was, especially those first 2 days.
Yeah, I'm putting it at peak 125. But if that's the case, and they do a turnstile where they count every single person going in 4 times, that's 500,000. But realistically, it's probably the way it's structured. I put about 400, maybe. But the fact of the matter is that's a far cry than 61,000 estimated, according from AnimeCons.com, yeah. And then 161,000 turnstile as a part of AnimeCons.com. We'll put this also in our show notes. But that is a far cry from where we are now. And even in 2013, that shit was crowded as fuck. Remember, this is my first year that I almost died.
What?
You know why? Because people die when they are killed. And I have to screen run to Ryan.
I just have to say this. I'm gonna say this. When we were pressed that year, I was just happy to be on the side to at least, you know, witness it all. I don't know why you guys were in the middle of everything just to get out of trampled.
We had to get the best shots. We had to get the best angles. But then,
yeah, y'all were
almost got trampled. I just see Ryan like in that video. I just see Ryan in that video just saying like, "Get the hell away from here," because
shit. Get the hell out of the way! Oh shit! Get the hell out of the way! AX is officially started!
No, I remember that.
It officially started.
I remember when Premier Fan was still quote unquote affordable back then. I was there. Yeah, I remember I was shopping in there in the exhibit hall for an hour before they let the crowd in. And I popped out because I wanted to see you guys. I'm like, oh, what are you doing, guys? I already got my stuff. It's right here.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, laugh it up.
I mean, you as a Premier fan, I mean, it makes sense.
I know Premier is gone.
You get the hour. You get the hour access too. So if anything, you do get the exclusives and stuff. We even get the hour access too.
I know. I'm just saying until about like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, that's when they stopped it. So
I
at least enjoyed that 2013 where we could actually at least get those perks. So yeah.
Can't say shit to my crippled ass.
Ah, man.
No, I'm trying to find out. Hold on. While you guys are talking, I'm trying to find out via the Wayback Machine how much a premiere batch was. I'm trying to find out.
Remember, we were pressed like, that day, and we actually did have the...
Back then, though.
So, just back me up here. When we were pressed in 2013, we ended up getting the perks of a premiere piff. Premier fan, is that correct?
The one time I snuck into the premiere room as a press member,
we have the press room also, so we could be able to, you know, do our stuff there.
Yeah, but the one time I snuck in as a press member to just kind of do coverage of it, they gave me all the premiere stuff. Like I was a premiere member. Nice. I even had the lanyard. I still had the premiere lanyard from that year. I laughed my way all the way back home to the bank of that one. Like,
shit, I just realized
that was a good. That was a good time.
Just see my old badge. I gotta get my old badge now. Hold on for a sec, just to see like what happened that year.
I am still trying to find the prices, but I'm running into like the same issue, which is like by the time it gets done, it's like, hey, we're sold out. Because like I'm going to, for example, January. According to this, it's 2013-01-22. It was sold out by January of that year. But hey, 40 attendee was only $60 at the time.
When that was a thing.
But yeah, I think it was like 100, 120, if I recall correctly. I think I started doing it like 08, 09.
And I remembered I caught on to that, like when it first started off, but once it got to the ridiculous, you know, prices like 400, 500 bucks, like I started like, nah, man, that ain't for me, dog.
I'm still trying to find your goddamn pricing. What the fuck? Wait, what?
What's up?
There was a kidnapping at AX 2012?
There was?
Yeah, it says rumors of alleged kidnapping, July 1st, 2012. We want to respond to rumors of alleged kidnapping.
Oh, God, I don't remember
We this. Heard that a rumor, too. The SBGA director level staff responded. As it turned out, people thought a friend was missing. However, the person was located at her home, and she had gone home without telling her friends. Oh, shit.
So I ended up back. So I ended up having my old badge back. I just remember the QR code that people have to scan through on my old badge back in 2013. And then we ended up having a paper badge that says that we were press.
Yeah,
we had to have two badges to wear through that for that con. And the old Crunchyroll lanyard that they had for us as well. What are you looking for again, Matt?
I am looking for the fan premiere price of Anime Expo 2013.
So, if I remember correctly, back in 2013, if you were to get access to like a concert, we could wait in line for a concert. Is that correct?
There was a standby line. Yes, there was a standby line then.
Yeah, there was a standby line, and that was for Porta Graffiti.
I remember they were never sold out. Like these concerts that they keep on selling were never sold out, so we just stand in a standby line, and we end up getting tickets, and we end up going to the concert anyways. You know. That's the same here.
Like, you would have like an allotment for a standby. Wait, we got standby for Porta Graffiti? I thought we got press tickets for
Porta Graffiti. I remember I just was in line with you guys.
I swear to God, we stood in line.
I don't remember it being for Porta Graffiti. I thought it was for another.
It was because after we got our tickets, we just went straight to the Novo and then we watched the concert there.
Hold on. Let me see if I have this in my report. Let's see. One of AX's best well-kept kids is standby line for an event. At a certain point at the convention, before our ticket and event begins, it's usually one to 2 hours. They'll start to hand out tickets and start to hand out the standby line. When Porta Graffiti were announced, I was estimating that they would be sold out or give a few tickets to give away. But when we got into line and our tickets had half an hour later, a staffer had a stack of tickets, more than I thought they would have. So we did. So we did get tickets to Porta Graffiti through the standby line.
Told ya.
Because I would have if we had did it differently, I would have wrote it. I would have not written that way.
I just kind of assume we got the press tickets for Porta Graffiti that year. I mean, unless it was another event that we got press tickets to, I don't remember.
I told because we didn't do Ram Rider because that was whole that oh fuck I remember that shit. With fucking Lounge 21 and Ram Rider. Oh my fucking god. That was a low point.
That's why it was a huge note.
I don't want to say that wasn't a huge note, but that was also like a big learning point for me. And I think it was my first taste into the pressure that is Anime Expo.
Yeah. I'm looking back at my reports as well from like 2013, 2 to 4.
Yeah. Last comic standing. No, that's the Kings game, but that's not needed. I would have to say it was probably Porno Graffiti. I don't think the VIP ticket counts for Makoto Shinkai. Because that was more of a fuck up by AX for the Garden Awards premiere.
Yeah. Dude, I look back at my report. I look back at my report. Yeah. I got the 2013 Midnight Gathering for Persona. That was one of the best, to be fair.
To be very fair, I was stuck behind a food truck. So, looking back at 2013, it was a way different world as it is now, even when it comes to Expo and the anime industry as a whole. One of the guests that were out there that weekend was Vic Bagnana. Boy, ooh, that doesn't oh work boy. Anymore. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And then also at the time, George Wada was out there for Anime Expo. And I think at the time it was going to be a thing about Psycho Pass. But this anime had just come out called Attack on Titan, which was coming on strong. Because back at SoccerCon, he was out there doing stuff for Psycho Pass and Attack on Titan, which was just coming out in the spring season. So by the time we get to Anime Expo, this thing has exploded. And we were like, oh shit, this is like the next best thing. And then we realized a decade later that, Nate, you are the fucking problem.
Oh my God. To be fair, weren't we all the problem back in that year? Weren't we all the problem back in that year?
No. To be very fair, we were all the fucking problem in 2013. Because
you were all the fucking problem because you all were total Attack on Titan fans. Every one of you. Shut the hell up.
Look, that year, I bought the AX exclusive AO t-shirt, but also I was planning to do Connie from Attack on Titan 2013. But it never happened because I think like after season 2, part 1, it just fucking fell off. And it was like, why is it still existing?
Yeah.
I liked it still, but then again, I'm the problem now, so fuck you guys.
But as I talked about in our previous episode, if I went to that con knowing that in the next 5 years, Crunchyroll, Funimation are gonna merge with one another, and theoretically Aniplex is gonna come along too because they're owned by Sony, there's gonna be this big behemoth. I would have been called insane or crazy. I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why is Funimation and Crunchyroll going to merge? They're two different separate entities. And in the meantime, you have something like Daisuke. That was a startup to go against the likes of Crunchyroll and Funimation. That didn't work out. And then you have Netflix that came along. You now have High Dive that now come along. And now they're being backed by a little known anime called Oishi no Ko. Some anime that was being promoted that year, like the first season of not Danmachi, the other anime that involves eye patches in
Tokyo Ghoul.
No,
I don't think that was it.
No. The one, the Chunibyo one, Love Chunibyo, Other Delusions.
Chunibyo.
First season. Show. Yeah. God, that was Kiyowani. Yeah, shit.
That was.
And then that was back when Sentai Filmworks, and then Sentai Filmworks had just started. And Sentai was a relatively unknown company, but they had something like Chunibro, or they had Skip Beat? The Skip Kids on the Slope. That's what it was.
You know what I just realized? Like, all right, so I never thought that some anime reviewer dude that recently released Evangelion parody or abridged would go on to become a top podcaster. Fucking Gigguk. Now that I look back on it.
Shit. Then also too, goddamn Connors/C.VA was still running fucking fandoms.
Oh my god! Remember, Gigguk was just like a small YouTuber back then. He was just reviewing anime.
Well, the Anatomy like that here was very was fairly small back in the day. Like
the crowd for anime fans back in 2013, yes, was very small. So you know, you didn't expect to have a big influx of anime fans in 10 years later.
You know what's funny though, like. Apparently, Sydney, you know, Sysnap voiced Misato in that Ava abridged parody he made like 10 years ago. Yeah, that's how they met. That's how they were telling a story. He was telling a story on Twitch. That's how we met. It's through that fucking project.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
How are you about that?
I mean
all the stories of like those who we love right now, like Connor, Guards, Anime Man, and Sid, for example. Like we met like 10 years ago
he was a fresh face motherfucker. My god,
I'm just saying 10 years ago we never expected these names to be just people that will become trash days, for example. I'm like, holy shit, like these young YouTubers back then in 2013, we were just like, oh, who are these guys? Oh, I like the content, blah, and I'll subscribe to them. And then after that, 10 years later, we see them all together. I'm like, how did this happen? Whoa, we all have the shared interest. We get it. But yo, you made a very popular podcast. Everyone loves you. I'm like, you guys are amazing.
Damn, years go by.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, I'm also looking through some of the other stuff that I mentioned in terms of what anime was out that year. Persona 4, the animation was out. Funimation was promoting some anime called Guilty Crown.
Guilty Crown was a good one. Granted, for those who watched Persona 4, the animation, that was like your cheat sheet of the whole Persona 4 game.
Bro, if anything,
It was a decent retelling of P4.
Kill is like 10 years old.
Yeah.
Steins Gate is barely in its infancy.
The first season of Girls in Panzer.
Oh, that anime.
Yeah, with the fucking tank outside. No one remember that? The tank outside?
Yeah,
the
Convention Girls Center?
Okay, remember that? Okay.
That's right, yeah, the tank what they're promoting.
An actual tank! That was so cool!
Wait, was it free out this year too, 2013? Swimming anime, right? I don't know, that just happened here in my list for some reason. Yeah, 2013. Oh, what the fuck?
July.
Summer 2013. What the fuck?
No. It had just started.
Yeah, it just started. Everybody
it
was like,
it literally started on July 4th.
Oh, wow.
Shoutouts to Google. You gave me 4 pirated sites.
Nice. Nice.
Thanks, Google.
Oh, shoot. Day Live apparently started in 2013. Persona 3 movie, the first movie came out.
Oh,
I remember one of the things that Funimation was promoting was Eureka 7 AO. And I know this because I took a really good picture of Adult Renton, a cosplayer. I think that might have been someone that I think I hung out with him a little bit more personally, but it was like he's like more like now kind of like someone I just remember from the time being. You still gotta remember like we still have like Evangelion that's still popular at the time. Naruto is still there. Although I think we're a couple years into Shippuden at that time.
Wait, hold on.
Build Fighters was the GOAT.
Hold on for a second here. I want to make sure this is true. In 2013, Love Live started.
Yes.
Oh, it was true. Holy shit.
All this around
is
you.
This is where we came to Love Live, Telly. Oh my god.
Part of
it all began with Muse.
Part of faces.
It's up, Jericho.
No, I refuse. I feel it. You're going to feel it too.
You know what? I'll apply that song to fucking The Proposal.
No, God, please don't do this. No, not like this. Not like this.
I don't think so. I don't think there was a lot of hype for Love Live back in AX 2013. I don't think we were saying much about it.
I just love they just circumvented what I just mentioned.
Yeah. I didn't hear you again. Oh my God, I was just having this whole repeat here, Matt.
Wow. Oh yeah, so like I remember back when I first saw Nico's like, man, she's an annoying bitch. Fuck her.
Oh hell no.
I like Mock.
Wait, I don't know. Wait, what I even like when I first started it? I didn't even like when I first started it. I was like, did I like Nico first or did I like somebody else? I don't remember. Shit.
I'm just gonna ignore the fact that I just mentioned The Proposal.
Wow.
You did. I know, you just said Proposal. I'm like, what the fuck are you saying?
Like Ryan Reynolds from Proposal?
No, just for that, Nico has to die now.
Yeah.
Oh, get the fuck out. Oh my god.
Nico has to be sacrificed. What happened at the SMT/Persona gathering in 2013?
What the fuck? The hell happened?
You don't remember?
You don't remember, Nate?
Oh, wait. I remember now. That okay.
Jesus H. Christ, Mary.
Wait. I thought we were not supposed to mention it at all. At all. I thought we're not supposed to say that anymore.
We're beyond the statute of limitations. Fuck it.
Say what? Not supposed to say what?
The Proposal. I know The Proposal now, and I'm like,
oh, that.
I thought we were supposed to mention that. Yeah, I thought we were supposed to mention that in the podcast or anything.
I think we're in agreement at this point, Ryan, that it doesn't really matter anymore.
It's 10 years. Like, a lot of shit has happened since then, so, like... So
when I heard about Proposal, I was like, oh, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh, wait, oh, shit, that thing, that moment that happened.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking, wait, are we talking about the book? Like, A Modest Proposal? What?
I was thinking that, too. I was thinking Proposal, like, what Proposal are you talking about? Was there a marriage that happened over Oh, then God. I realized, oh, yeah, that's right.
If it was a marriage at Anime Expo?
Oh, wow. No. Oh, way.
Fuck.
AX would not agree.
Oh, hell no. They would have not allowed that.
Oh, hell no.
They allowed it. They allowed it at Fanime. Just a heads up.
They just I remember that. It's like, wait, someone got married at it with Evangelion theme at stage zero.
Yep.
But no, I think because
yeah, there's a giant naked rain.
When we look at 2013 and what occurred, we can't really tell what's going to happen in a decade. Anything that we know of, anime, manga, video games, life, our lives, and back then in 2013. I believe that Ryan and Amanda were going to make it happen. They were going to get married. And we decided to throw it out at Anime Expo. Somehow it happened despite the fact that I was getting a lot of pushback from those that we knew.
Well, wait, I thought I was going forward with it too. I thought I was like, go for it. Like, you know.
So, what's the thing? It was fine, there were a few of us after I left California that was still like, oh, no, fuck, no, we're against this shit. We're not going to let it happen, yada, yada, yada. There was a lot of drama from people that I used to know, but ideally on the docket and on record from the gathering list, if we can, I don't think we can go back to that thread, but back when Coscom was more of a bigger thing, it's back. I know it's back, but when Coscom was really big back in the day, huh?
It's never really back, though.
Anyways. when Coscom was a thing, I mean, we brought it up. Most people weren't against the idea. I kept it a secret from Amanda at the time for obvious reasons. A lot of people on the thread were okay with it. They were actually, like, for it. It's just that when we got to the gathering, and it was just a matter of trying to set it up, just talking to the organizer, and then the organizer was like, cool with it. However, we were getting pushback from those who wanted to cause drama. And at that point, it was like, we're just trying to get the show on the road because of the fact that I wanted to make that day particularly special. And it was. It really was. I wanted to make that day at that particular time very special because of the fact that at the time, I dated Amanda we were romantically involved like for 2 years. And at that time, well, I had reason to believe, like, you know, this is who I want to marry. This is who I, like, want to get engaged to. So the whole plan was, like, everything was a go, despite some people trying to prevent it from happening. It's kind of ironic, because if you go back to the video, if it's not private,
I double-checked, it's not private. I think with disabled comments, that's what we did.
If you go back to the video, you actually hear in the video when I'm about to announce it, you hear some bystanders in the background actually saying, oh my God, it's them. It's them. Like, people are getting excited because they know what's going on. So at that time, you know, me being like happy-go-lucky kind of guy, what I am, I engaged to my then girlfriend at the time. Well, I was cosplaying as you, she was cosplaying as Yukiko. It was a good time. The whole moment was so heartfelt. It was such a great moment because I remember the first thing I remember after her saying yes and kind of doing our thing is Matt nearly like practically glomping, nearly tackling me at that point, or me.
We
and
all
Amanda.
Were actually. I think all of us were just going to engage in hugging. Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, that is true. But like Matt being the most.
Oh, I literally rushed in. If you watch the video. It's literally basically just running in, like, glomping. Like, we just fucking won the championship.
Yeah.
We won the fucking Super Bowl, man. Like, we're going to fucking Disneyland after this shit. Like,
and I just remember when Matt started to hug you, me and Ray both did the same thing, too. And
everyone,
just, you know,
everyone I knew at the time that was not the others was, like, running in. We were all, like, cheering. We're all being happy. We're all... Like I said, we're all just like being happy for me and Amanda at the time. So it's like, it's hard not to like kind of like look back on it because it was a great memory in my life. Sure, things kind of went downhill after that. But at the very least, you know, despite the events that happened, me and Amanda are still on talking terms. We're still good friends. We still talk to each other. So, I mean, I don't like them admit that she cheated, but... Despite the fact being able to come back and admit what she did was wrong, unlike some other exes I know, and I'm not going to bring that up, who or when up. But at least she was able to admit what she did was wrong, and we moved on from it. But we're still good friends. I will put on record to this day that me and Amanda are still good friends. So I still remember 10 years back, and it was still a great memory. I don't regret it. I don't know if maybe everyone back then, I don't think any one of us were regretting it. Maybe to this day, given everything that happened, maybe. But the fact of the matter is, at that particular moment, I can't say that none of us weren't like overly excited or hype about what happened.
Yeah, I think the only thing that really caught my eye was 2 years later when it all went down. That same year, Anime Expo wrote an article about you two, about that time in 2013. And I was like, Anime Expo, they're not longer together. Shit happened.
There were other people that commented on that post too that said they're not together. So
yeah. I just posted a photo in our Discord.
This looks like this year.
It does it?
Of crowdedness when it comes to the crowd. Kinda.
That's
nothing. Are you sure? It kind of really. I felt that way when I was
game, dude.
It felt that way when I was in 2020. Well, it felt that way when it was day two. It was kind of like this. Still crowded around. A lot of people still roaming around. It just felt that way for some reason. Maybe the way I'm looking at it is more like, oh, people are definitely all around me, and I'm just like trying to get through to get to the exhibit hall. So, you know, I feel like the crowded. I don't know. It's just maybe me. Just the way that picture looks makes it feel like it's the same thing that happened this year.
Here's another photo.
Okay, it's not as crowded compared to, well, you saw day one of 2023. It's definitely like shoulder to shoulder of people just like bunching up together.
That's 2013 crowded. And I like, that is a lot of people. You're talking about at least twice as many people a decade later.
Maybe more. You have triple the amount compared to like 2013. It's still crowded. But was this day one or was this...
I believe, let me double check. According to this was July 5th. So that would have been...
Day two?
Let me check. July 5th would have been the Friday of. So that was Friday, day two of Expo, 2013.
Yeah. Wow. Well, if anything, I just see just the whole floor being crowded, but then you see some sections like upstairs, for example, where it's not that crowded. So still
the... It's kind of like the same schedule that 2013 followed that is going to be followed for next year because of the leap year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to have this all the nostalgia about Anime Expo. Was that a better time? Because goddamn, it was a better time at Expo in 2013 than it was now.
It was more like convenient for you to get your exclusives when it comes to convention stuff versus now where it's like, oh, if you miss it on day one, it's over for you. Sorry.
Well, hold on. Well, I want to say that as much because a lot of the convention exclusives for GSC were selling out by the time you got to days two and three.
Some of the stuff I saw at Bushiroad on day one was already sold out. Just a heads up for those exclusives. So, in our booth, there was some exclusives that already sold out. I don't know about the rest of the booths.
Yeah, it's I'm looking through all of these. God damn, that's so many fucking Attack on Titan cosplayers. Just within what six? Fucking crap! Hold on, let me see if I can get a good photo. Jesus Christ! You gotta remember, this is all season one shit, so it's not like we have all of the spoilerific costumes and variations, right? So it's everyone just in Survey Corps outfits with the thing.
Oh God, I remember. Oh God, I remember this. Oh God, it's the people that I actually see in that photo that is familiar with me, and I find familiar. I dig.
There's also that we had Steins Gate was out a year, right? 2011 or 2012? The first Steins
Gate. Steins Gate was out in 2013, if I remember. 2013? I just forgot what season.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, Steins Gate was barely in its infancy at that point.
I think it was fall.
It was barely making it stateside.
No, wait. No, it's not. Oh, shoot. Where did this? Love Flap Free.
I just posted a photo. What do you think that is?
Was that from our hotel room?
No, that's not from our hotel room. That is a photo, the last one I took before I blacked out at the GW Marriott.
Oh, what the?
This is the prelude to the 3 a.m. meeting that we had in our hotel room at the Kawada.
I remember. There was video evidence of that. Oh, my God.
And the fact that I had a danger dog before that and I threw that up in the bathroom. Yeah, yeah boy. Yeah, boy.
Anything. You had a fun time there. Jeez.
Dude, there was a tequila fountain. That's all I remember. there was a tequila fountain. Thank God nothing was stolen from me. Like, I literally passed out. They could have, like...
Or you didn't leave anything behind, you know? That would suck.
Well, yeah. I had literally everything with me, so that I was very lucky. But I think the fact of the matter is, it's just, like I said, all this reminiscing, it's just making me realize that the expo that we saw this year is nowhere near the expo that we went to. That was probably our best convention that we ever went to. Probably aside from SoccerCon 2017 and for some of us, TayoCon 2015. I think those are my top three all-time conventions not named Sack Anime. And so I'll be very honest. When we were going through our 2023 coverage of Anime Expo, we were doing the blitz of all the news coverage that was coming out of it. I'm like, hey, we got this, we got this, we got this, we got this. Part of me was like, you know what? I kind of want to go back because it is our 10-year anniversary of going to Anime Expo 2013. And I want to recreate that magic that I did a decade ago. But the short answer is you're not going to, Matthew. Because A, that was a whole different other time. And B, you had press. You had the access you're not going to get through now because you had to go stand in line for fucking everything. Except for buying stuff from GSE, but that's not the point of the matter.
You'll have that perks of like getting exclusive stuff like first, okay?
Yeah, but even then, some of the stuff that we had experienced and written about, I mean, you and I, Nate, we didn't get to the Garden of Words premiere because it was just line fuckery.
Crowded. The best part, though, is at least we were able to go to Lodge 21 and meet up with Shinkai.
But that was something we complained in 2013 that, hey, your line management sucks. And 10 years later, their line management still sucks.
Still not the same. It's still not the same.
Now, I think in 2013, I wasn't complaining about Crowders. I think I might have said, wow, it's a little bit stiff in here, or crowded in here, or however I said it, but it's not that bad. And I think, but once we got to like maybe 5 years later, 2017, because Ryan, Jericho, you guys went in 2017, and I believe, was it 2017, Ryan, that you both went?
It was me and Nate went. 2017, 2018 that we went, and it was still pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah, so 2017, it was 107,000, and in 18 was 110,000. Wow, in 2018, price of admission at the door was 115 plus. In 2017, it was 140 for what? Okay, so expo pricing hasn't really gone up relative, because in 2017 it cost you $150 to get into the, actually, you know what, no, I take that back, because this was at the door. You were able to buy tickets for $150. You can't buy tickets anymore in 2023 because it fucking sold out. But there was a time in 2013 that you were able to buy a badge for $75, or how much it kind of cost to go to Fanime before the pandemic.
Yeah. If anything, though, I mean, I would rather spend a $75 badge on 4 days compared to like $200 now.
I think any of us would spend $75. But there are some cons though that we're seeing pricing right now. And it's like $100 for 3 days. And it's like a con I've never heard of. It's like, how much are you charging? Actually, just for kicks and giggles, Anime Impulse Bay Area. How much are you charging?
Oh, just for now. Oh, just to see how much it is now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, it goes with inflation. I mean, considering what? Soda used to cost, like, 99 cents back in the day. Well, back now, it's, what, $2.50 for a bottle?
Anime Impulse is $40 with a $5.19 service fee. So your total is $45 for a ticket.
Okay, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Although it's interesting, when I Google Anime Pulse Bay Area, you know how there's like the Google search, it has like kind of like drop downs, FAQ Media Store Body Pillow. What?
Oh my god.
Bruh.
Why? I mean, what would you rather be caught with? The body pillow or the skate deck?
Body pillow.
The skate deck.
Body pillow all the time, every time. I'm not afraid.
Especially where the holes are for the white variation. Oh boy. Before you put the, where you put the wheels on.
Right. Oh yeah, right. Oh, right up there. Yeah.
Right on it.
Let's go.
Why? Okay. Why is the Honkai? What the hell? Really? Okay, so I just randomly googled like Anime Impulse Bay Area as this events at the 29th. This is Anime Impulse 2023, July 30th, Honkai Starville Gathering. It's actually on a Google search. But then that aside, I think I'd mentioned this back when we were doing we did our brief coverage on Ofkai. I think Ofkai was $70 to $100. But that's more of a fandom convention more than a general anime convention. So your prices may vary for something like an Ofkai or a Gallifrey one. That's the Doctor Who, the major Doctor Who convention in Los Angeles. But even within convention culture in 2013, we were on the tail end of things like the Yaoi paddle, glomping without any disregard for human life. Natalia.
That was a thing, yeah.
That was definitely an uke.
Uke Seme. Fucking Hetelia is still rampant around this time.
We're still cosplaying Philippines at that time.
Still cosplaying Philippines. Well, that was 2010, and then we ramped it up to 2011, 2012. Did we ramp for 2013? I think we might have for 2013.
We did.
Yes. Man. But just to think, like, I'm just staring, it's like, man, Promised Neverland is years off. Yuri on Ice is years off. Persona 5 is years off. The rebuild of Evangelion is years off.
Okay, Persona 5 was still at least in the mentions at that time.
What? Post-AX, yes. Because it was later on that year that we started hearing about Persona 5. Because that was our kind of our main theme going into Otakon Vegas 20. Oh, God, we want to do a retrospect on that? Oh, no, we're not doing fucking retrospect. No. No,
there. I kind of wouldn't want
that. Thing is,
we could, but there's a lot more negatives I could bring over that convention than positives.
Yeah.
There's a lot more.
They try to get Otakon. They try to get Otakon to West Coast, but
yeah. I mean,
if we were to do a retrospective, I gotta talk a lot about it. So
yeah, and like, and I wish that Otakon had made a more endeavor to do something out here in the West Coast. I get press releases for Otakon in Washington D.C. and the guests they're bringing out. It's like, man, I wish I can go to Otakon, or I wish they would do something out here for the West Coast crowd. But you know, that's something that is primarily held out there, and you know, we talked about like some of the major players now. They'll probably be out there to promote the same thing, just like Evo. Soon enough, Crunchy will be over at Otakon, and so will Good Smile, and so will everybody else. And is there anything else I want to mention here? I mean, and right, we're at the tail end of the SoCal Host Club, right? No. We are, because 2010 was our breakout year with AX 2010, mm-hmm. when we did our whole panel out there.
Yep, and we did the one at San Diego Comic-Con, and I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, after that, it just fell apart, and by the time we get to this particular point of Anime Expo, the SoCal Host Club is dead and gone. But I just remember, was 2013 the year that I said, I'll pay for Auron Season 2? Or was that 2010?
Yep, no, that was... You went to the panel, you said, like, come and take my money, and then the creator's like, bring mini wallets.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Shut up and take my money. God, how long has that been in our vernacular? Decades, right?
Yep.
Shut up and take my money!
The shit, I mean, if you really think about it, Facebook has yet to become the wretched website that it was. Twitter... Well, that's Twitter. You know, Instagram had just taken off. You know, I was you know, that I was doing a lot of photographs out of Anime Expo 2013 on an iPhone for Instagram, like, wow. And nowadays I'm like, wow, I'm doing photos of food that I'm eating. I think in this whole retrospect that we're doing here, I'm just realizing that we can reminisce about the past and we can try our very best to recreate some of it. But in the end, like, we got to move forward. And we're going to talk about this next week when it comes to our convention FOMO series, our revisit, where I make a lot of corrections from the last time we did it. Plus, we get ChatGPT to help us out with some of the feelings that I have when it comes to FOMO.
And I get a say in it this year. Yeah.
And I get a say in it this year. Yay. But, you know, I think when we get to it, because we've done this before. We've done the reminiscence of Anime Expo. We did it in 2021 during the time that Anime Expo would have been happening, but it was AX Lite / AX Virtual. And that's when we did our development of what we did and the fact that I got drunk twice at Anime Expo and yada, yada, yada. And we tell the story all over again about how I ended up at the hotel room at 3 in the morning with a meeting.
Oh, my God.
The fact that they got, as I always say, they got no major decisions about our website was made that day. I just did it for a second. I was fucking drunk.
Not that what I would have allowed anyway.
If anything, that wasn't recorded. That was
we have video footage of it. Quit being in denial.
There was no things about the meeting.
You cut the video off of when I said meeting. You don't actually have the footage.
Yeah, I'll have the meeting footage, but I just saw your entrance coming into the room.
You know what? You know, been funny. I just, you know, at a random, I just thought about it. Just be I'll bring the scenario up. What if during the meeting I said I want to hire Hilly as part of the cast? out of me being drunk at fucking 3 a.m.
Wow.
It could have happened, but it didn't help that you scared the ever loving shit out of her to the point she was clinging on me and Amanda.
All of us.
Was she scared?
She was, yeah, she was scared out of her fucking mind, bro. Like, literally.
She didn't tell me this at any point. Why?
It might have been brought back up in passing, but you might not have remembered.
I am very nice and very sincere. But at that moment, I was just drunk off my ass.
After how many times you admitted you loved everyone and you wouldn't shut up and stop calling us after, like,
that's right.
Well, Hilly, if somehow you are listening to this podcast, I am sorry that I was drunk a decade ago and that I scared rambling shit out of you.
I'm not gonna lie, I've forgotten about Hilly and Sora. How are they doing after 10 years?
They're still going strong. I talked to them recently.
Wow, that's great. That's good. That's good for them. It's good for them.
Although Sork still can't play Street Fighter worth a damn, but just
kidding. I'll have to hit. I think I still have them added on. I'll have to hit them up one way or another. But again, I'm sorry. And if you don't hear this, I'll probably message you later on, and I'll probably see the same exact. I am very nice. I'm very supportive. Just me being drunk is a whole different story. Especially me being drunk when 2013, July, that was July 20th is my birthday. Let's see, 1988, 98,
2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
That put me at 25.
I was 22 at the time. So you had just turned 25.
25, going on 26.
No, it wouldn't be 24 into 25 because I'm only 2 years behind you.
Okay, 24.
I turned 23 that year. Okay. At the end of the year.
Yeah, so I was still in my mid-20s, so I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Hell, I wouldn't know what the fuck I was doing at AX 2010 when I turned 21, got fucking hammered at Expo.
Abandoned me, left me all in downtown by myself.
Hey, you had a car, all right? I had to do everything on foot. We'll go deeper into, like, my feelings about this particular convention, the fact that, yeah, I wanted to recreate the magic, but even then, it's like, there are some things you just can't replicate, even things that we can all do. Like, go back and eat at Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffle. Like, I want to go back and go eat at Roscoe's, but you're not going to capture that same magic that we had of everyone ordered the same meal except for Amanda, who didn't want to eat the herb special number two because for some reason
she had the chili. She had the chicken chili at that point.
The chicken, which was still damn good. So it's like, all right, that's fine. But it's something about that post-AX meal at Roscoe's that you just can't capture the same way the second time, or you're trying to do it again, or something that we've done a while back and you do it again. It's not the same feeling. I mean, you're going to try to make it the same feeling, but in the end, you're doing it off of nostalgia and not of where you're at the moment. And we'll talk about that a lot more next week when we would do our revisit on convention FOMO. And on that note, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Calicon Blogcast. If you like what you heard, please follow the podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Before we get out of here, Nate, are you going to MagWest?
I am not.
Okay. Well, I wish I was going to MagWest because there's an artist heading out. His name is Kiefer Green. He does a mashup of hip-hop, rap, R&B, soul, funk, rock, and combines it with the likes of anime, video game music, and maybe even some city pop. And he had just come out with a new album called What's Happening 64 that's being debuted at MagWest tomorrow as of recording. I'm going to play one of his songs to play us out for tonight's episode.
Secretly plotting your demise. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash the whole computer system and revert you to a virus. I want to make a super virus strong enough to cause blackouts in every single metropolis. Cause they don't want to unify us, so fuck it. Total anarchy and can't nobody stop us. You see, late in the evening, fucked up on my computer and my mind starts roaming. I create like a heathen. The first cycles of this virus like a sin to a modem. Infiltration, get your station. No Microsoft or enhanced DOS will impede. Society thinks they're safe when bingo hard drive crashes from the rending. A lot of hackers tried viruses before. Vaporize your text like so much whiteout. I want it where file replication is a chore. Lights out, shut down, entire White House. Just a bug that could be corrected. I'm erecting a mechanic design. Break the nation down section by section. Even to the greatest minds, it's impossible to find. I wanna devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus.